Imagine a world where the money in your digital wallet isn't quite worth the same as the money in your bank account, or even different digital monies vary in value. It sounds chaotic, right?
Absolutely. That would make everyday transactions a nightmare, constantly having to calculate conversions.
Exactly. That seamless, one-for-one value is what economists call the singleness of money. It's fundamental to how our financial system works.
And with all the new digital currencies and payment methods popping up, it sounds like that singleness might be facing some challenges.
You've hit on the core issue. This is precisely what Benjamin Hemingway at the Bank of England explores in his new staff working paper, A Model of Monetary Singleness.
So, what exactly is he trying to understand? What's the main question of the paper?
He's asking why singleness of money is so desirable in the first place, and critically, how can it be maintained amidst all this digital innovation? Specifically, he's looking at how new forms of privately issued digital money, like stablecoins, might challenge this fundamental idea that all money should trade at par.
So, it's about making sure a digital dollar is always worth a physical dollar, and that all digital dollars are interchangeable at the same value.
Precisely. The paper's main research question is how tolerant policymakers should be of any deviations from this par convertibility across different monetary instruments.
That makes sense. It feels like a crucial topic for the future of payments. So, what did the paper find? What are its key results?
One key finding is quite nuanced. The model suggests that small deviations from singleness, like an ATM withdrawal fee, can actually be consistent with an efficient economy.
So, it's not a disaster if there's a tiny difference, like the small fees we already see sometimes?
That's right. Those minor operationally driven departures aren't necessarily a red flag for the overall system. However, the paper issues a significant warning. It finds that inefficient outcomes are much more likely when newly introduced digital monies come from private entities.
What kind of private entities are we talking about here? And why would their money lead to inefficiency?
He's referring to private issuers, like those behind some stablecoins, especially if they have distinct business models from traditional banks. The problem arises if these new digital monies are backed by asset portfolios that are significantly different from what traditional banks hold.
So, if different digital monies are backed by different kinds of assets, it creates more risk for the system's overall singleness?
Exactly. That divergence in underlying assets can make it harder for different forms of money to trade at par, increasing the chance of inefficient outcomes. The model also highlights the crucial, stabilizing roles of two existing forms of money, cash and central bank reserves.
Cash and central bank reserves? How do they help maintain this singleness?
Cash acts as a universal backstop. It's a universally accepted medium of exchange that can step in if the interoperability of private digital monies breaks down. Think of it as a common denominator that ensures everyone has a baseline option for transactions, maintaining trust.
So, even in a highly digital world, physical cash still plays a vital role in preventing fragmentation?
Absolutely, according to this model. And central bank reserves are important because they ensure that different issuers share a consistent asset base. This helps align their liabilities and supports the par value of their issued money.
Okay, so reserves bring a kind of common ground for banks, while cash is there for everyone as a fallback.
That's a great way to put it. The model also shows that while a common unit of account isn't strictly necessary for efficiency, outcomes become much more fragile as units diverge.
So even if small deviations are tolerable, too much difference can really destabilize things.
Precisely. It reinforces the idea that policymakers need to be vigilant and prudent when considering monetary diversity.
You mentioned the paper uses a three-period banking model. Can you break down how that works in simple terms? What's the basic setup?
Certainly. Imagine a simplified economy over three time periods, with banks, laborers, and artisans. The banks offer debt contracts to laborers. These contracts are promises to deliver goods in the future, and crucially, banks get to choose two things: the unit of account for their debt, and whether that debt can be used as a medium of exchange.
So, the banks themselves decide what their money is denominated in, and if it can be spent like cash or transferred to others?
That's right. The unit of account is essentially what the debt is backed by, a specific ratio of goods, and medium of exchange means if it's transferable to other agents, like the artisans. Banks can even decide to impose fees if that money is transferred, especially to someone associated with a different bank.
What's the incentive for a bank to choose one unit of account over another, or to make their money transferable?
Banks want to maximize their profit. They'll try to align their debt's unit of account with their own asset base. This reduces their pricing risk and allows them to issue more debt, making their liabilities transferable so they can be used as a medium of exchange, increases their value to depositors.
But then that could bring back the pricing risk you mentioned if different banks have different units of account?
Exactly. That's the strategic trade-off. Allowing transferability is good for demand, but it reintroduces pricing risk if their unit of account diverges from others. A key assumption in the model is that banks can't fully insure against future relative price changes of their assets. This incomplete market friction is what makes the unit of account choice so important.
So, in essence, the model simulates how banks compete by designing their own forms of money, and how that impacts the overall coherence, or singleness, of the monetary system.
That's a perfect summary. It's all about understanding these endogenous choices banks make and their aggregate impact.
So, what are the real-world implications of these findings for policymakers? What should they be thinking about?
The paper suggests policymakers need to be particularly cautious about the rise of privately issued digital monies, especially those backed by very diverse asset portfolios. These could be stablecoins, for example, if they don't maintain very robust, consistent asset backing.
So, it's not just about the technology, but what's behind the digital money that matters most?
Precisely. The composition of their asset portfolios is crucial for maintaining the singleness of money. It also strongly supports the continued role of cash as a vital public good, providing a safety net for the entire financial system.
It makes you wonder about the future of cash if we become too digital.
It also reinforces the importance of central bank digital currencies, or CBDCs, as a potential way to ensure public money remains the unifying unit of account in a fragmented digital landscape.
So, a CBDC could act like a common benchmark for all these different private digital monies, ensuring they stay at par?
That's one potential implication. The paper emphasizes the need for prudence and vigilance from policymakers, even if small deviations might seem acceptable. The overall message is that monetary cohesion can be quite fragile.
This has been a really insightful discussion. So, to wrap up, what are the three main takeaways we should remember from Benjamin Hemingway's research?
First, the singleness of money is crucial for an efficient economy, ensuring seamless transactions and trust. Second, the rise of private digital monies, especially those with diverse asset backing, poses a genuine risk to this monetary singleness. And finally, cash and central bank reserves play indispensable stabilizing roles, acting as backstops and ensuring consistency in our evolving monetary landscape.
Thank you for breaking that down for us. It really clarifies a complex but incredibly important topic for our financial future.
My pleasure. It's a paper that really makes you think about the architecture of money itself.
Absolutely. A fascinating look into the challenges and solutions for the future of money.